Ephesians 1, 10 through 13, regarding his plan of the fullness of the times to bring all things together in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will, to the end that we, who were the first hope of the Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise.
Well, good morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Good to see all of you here today. Jerry Lewis is back with us. He's back over yonder. And I wanted to mention Jerry. Jerry's been in the hospital. He broke his leg, and he's been in the hospital, and he's been in rehab, and he's been a lot of places, but he hadn't been here. But now he's back here. So we're glad you're here, Jerry. We're glad you're here with us. Bobby, if you're watching, I want you to know how much we love you and care for you. And you and Gaitha both, and we are so proud that you are part of the body of Christ, that you are part of this congregation. Folks, we are truly blessed. And I am so thankful that we are blessed the way that we are blessed. Because we have so many great people right here in this congregation. That is why we grow. That is why we are doing what we need to do, is because of the people that are here. And we are so grateful for that. So grateful for that. Miss Ann starts her chemo Thursday. Okay. So whatever y'all need, you know that. And don't hesitate. Like I told you before, John's just right down the street. He can come help you. You know. So, anytime you need any help, just call John. Yeah. Anything y'all need. Now, no kidding. Anything you need. Do what? Yeah. Yeah. They do call you. Yeah, I know that. I know that. Y'all get around and see Bobby Martin. Bobby's such a great guy. I got a chance a couple of weeks ago to go with John and Bob and go to visit Bobby, and they got to talking about their old times together, and I didn't have anything to say. I just kind of sat in the corner, and that's where Kathy wants me to be all most of the time, in the corner, not talking much. But it was really good to listen to them talk about all the days and things that they had done and all the sports that they had played and the refereeing and all this other stuff. And so it was a good time to talk with them and get a chance to visit. And it's so great. It's so great to have that opportunity. As I told you before, and I want y'all to know this without a doubt, you are my family. And you are more of my family than my physical family. And that's the way it should be, because we are all, as Rendell brought up just a minute ago, we are one body. We are one spirit. We are God's children. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. And I love it every time I get an opportunity to come and see you and to be with you. We got an opportunity last week to go back to a congregation where I preached for 8 years, and We got to see everybody and talk with everybody, and that's always a great time. That's always a great time. They are part of our family too. And that was wonderful to be with them and to talk with them and to have an opportunity to see them all again. You know, we've got family all over the world. And won't it be great when we stand before the throne of God? And God's family from all time is there together to sing praises to Him. Won't that be wonderful? I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the promises of God. And how we are promised that these things will happen. We are promised that we will receive these gifts, these benefits. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22, talks about things that we receive right here on this earth. Peace, love, joy, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. These are things that we receive right here on this earth. And I want you to know that without God, we do not receive any of those things. We cannot. We cannot. Without God, we are lost. Without God, we have no hope. Without God, we can find no true joy. Because joy and love and peace all comes from understanding God. That's where it comes from. And under no circumstance could we obtain that without it. Now, I've told you this story before about this individual that I knew who was on an airplane and he was reading his Bible on an airplane. Now, he was reading his Bible on the airplane for a different reason than I read my Bible on the airplane. When I'm on an airplane, I'm afraid of crashing. And somebody asked me one time, said, "Are you afraid to fly?" I said, "No, I'm afraid to crash." And so he was reading his Bible, though, and there was a lady sitting next to him, and she looked and she said, "Do you believe that?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "You don't believe it?" She said, "Nope, I don't believe it." And his response was that how could she have any hope, how could she have any peace, how could she have any joy without God? My father passed away when he was 44 years old. I didn't realize how young that was until I surpassed 44 years old. Folks, that's young. Well, he passed away when he was 44 years old, and he said there are two things in this world that you cannot do without. He was an educator, so he said everybody needs a good education. But he said the one thing that's the most important is that you cannot do without God. Because without God, you cannot find joy in this world. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So realize what I'm going to talk to you about today is how we obtain the promises of God. How do we get that love, peace, joy? How do we get that? But not only that, we're talking about every aspect of spiritual blessing. So we're not just talking about here on this earth, but we're also talking about the blessings that we have in the hopes of eternal salvation. Something that no one has without God. If you live this life... I had some ladies a little while ago say, "If I start coughing, I'm going to go back and stand in the back." Well, if I start coughing, I'm going to go back and stand in the back too. But I want you to know that without God, we have no opportunity for salvation. Without God, we have no opportunity for heaven. Without God, all we have to look forward to, if I could say it in those words, is eternal damnation, eternal punishment. That's what you have without God. And so realize that we obtain the promise of God through God. It was His love for you. It was His love for me. It was His love for us that He sent His Son to die for us so that we could be with Him in eternity. That's why. And folks, we have people who are facing the end of their life. And there's no other way to say that. But we are not promised today. We are not. We could die on the way home. I could have a heart attack up here this morning. And really, to be honest with you, if I was to die up here this morning, and I showed up at the pearly gates And Michael was there and says, what were you doing when you died? And I said, I was preaching the word. He'll say, well, come on in. Be different if I was walking into a bar and died, wouldn't it? What were you doing? I was walking into a bar. He said, well, this door's closed. You need to go to the other door. But realize, we obtain the promise of God because of God. We obtain the promise of God because of Jesus Christ and Him sacrificed. This is how we obtain it. Because He loves us. And without that love that He has for us, we are lost. We are condemned. We will have an eternity of punishment. So my question for you today is this. How do we obtain the promises, that's with an S because there are many, of God? Let's start with this verse. We are considered to be God's chosen people. Remember, the Jews were God's chosen people. Remember that? Okay? They were chosen not because of what they did, but because of the faith of Abraham. Because God promised Abraham that through his seed, all what? All nations would be blessed. All nations, not just the Jews, but everybody would be blessed. And they were chosen because of Abraham. Because of Abraham's faith. And they were chosen to be about bringing the Savior. Jesus had to be a descendant of Abraham. He had to be a descendant of David. And He brought about the Savior through that chosen people. But I want you to understand something. When they rejected God, when they rejected Jesus Christ, they are no longer God's chosen people. We got to understand that. Because I hear that too often about how the Jews are God's chosen people. The answer is no, they are not. We are, as Christians. Why? Because we follow God. We follow Christ. That makes us God's chosen people. And those who reject God, those who reject Christ, are not God's chosen people. Because Jesus says Himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by Him. So if you reject Him, you cannot come to the Father. So therefore, we are God's chosen people. But realize what that takes. In order to be God's chosen people, you have to make a choice. Go back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden. There were two trees. They could eat of the tree of life and live forever, or they could eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil and die. That was their choice. Now, if Adam would have been really smart, he'd have chopped down that tree. But I want you to know that they chose the wrong direction. And because they chose the wrong direction, in Genesis chapter 3, God tells that serpent, Satan, that through her seed, he would crush your head and you will bruise his heel. In other words, he's going to stomp on your head and crush you through her seed. That is the first foretelling in the Scripture of the coming of Jesus Christ. To crush his head. He did so on the cross. He made a way for us to be with Him. Now, the terminology that's up there on the board is predestined. Y'all have heard that before. And I want you to know that there is some really bad information about predestination that's out there. And it's really bad information. Because I've heard preachers even get up and say that if you're predestined, you will be predestined to be a Christian and you'll be predestined to go to heaven. But if you're not predestined from the time that you were conceived or before that even, if you're not predestined to do that, then you're predestined to go to hell. It removes every opportunity that you have to make the choice. Remember I said with Adam and Eve there was a choice to be made? It removes every opportunity. So what they're saying is that you are either predestined before you were born to go to heaven, or you were predestined before you were born to go to hell. And it doesn't matter what you do, that's the way it's going to be. No. That's absolutely wrong. And the reason why it's absolutely wrong is because we have the opportunity today to make the choice. I can choose to follow God, or I can choose not to follow God. It is my choice, and it has always been my choice from the very beginning of time. From the beginning with Adam and Eve, it was their choice to eat of one tree or eat of the other. It was their choice. And so when the preacher gets up there and says, well, you're either predestined to be a Christian or not, folks, that's not what that means. Now, here's what this means. That if you become a Christian, you are predestined to go to heaven. That's what that means. If you do not become a Christian, you are predestined to go to hell. You see that? The predestination is after your decision. It's not before you decide. It's after. All Christians are predestined to go to heaven. All those who reject God are predestined to go to hell. That's the terminology. And that's how you should view that terminology, because it doesn't tell us that we are in a box that we can't get out of, that we're going to go this way regardless. It doesn't tell us that. What it tells us is, based upon your choice, based upon your decision, you are predestined to go to heaven or you're predestined to go to hell. The predestination comes after your choice. So remember, it is always your choice. We are God's chosen people because of our choice. We are God's chosen people because of God's choice to send His Son. We are with God because He so loved us. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Because the predestination comes after you make the decision. Now, when are we chosen? If we're not chosen before the decision, then when exactly are we chosen? Here it is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Remember I started off by saying we have spiritual blessings right here on this earth, and we have spiritual blessings when we leave this earth. We are blessed with every type of spiritual blessing. But notice what it says, We are blessed with every type of spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, here's a terminology that I want you to think of. In order for us to be chosen, we must be in Christ. You see what it says there? Ephesians 1:3 tells us that we receive every spiritual blessing if we are in Christ. If we are not in Christ, we do not receive these blessings. When do we get to be in Christ? Romans chapter 6 is a great chapter to read, and I encourage you to read it. But it tells us, when we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. Notice, we get into Christ when we have made the decision. It's not before the decision. It's after the decision. When we make the decision that we're going to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, that's when we get in Christ. Not before, but after. We get in Christ Jesus when we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we repent of our sins. This is what brings us to being in Christ. This is what brings us to every spiritual blessing, both here on this earth and in heaven. It is after we have made that decision. Then we are predestined to receive those spiritual blessings. Notice what it says here. For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So I am in Christ. If I have been baptized with Christ, into Christ, we have clothed ourselves with Christ, and therefore, notice what it says, we are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. The point I'm making is very plain. You have to be in Christ. You have to be. Once we are in Christ, then we are called the children of God. We are God's chosen people. We are God's children. We are new in Christ. We're a new creature. That old creature died and was buried, and the new creature has been resurrected. We are new. We are in Christ Jesus. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Because once we are in Christ Jesus, then we can say without a doubt, we are God's children. What a great thing to be able to say. We are the children of God. How wonderful is that, that we can say that. If somebody walks up to you and asks you, who are you? You can say plainly, I am a child of God. I am with God. I am God's child. I am in God's kingdom. I I thank God to be that. I thank God I can say it. But I can only say it because God so loved me first. He wants us to be with Him. Therefore, we can be called the children of God. And being called the children of God, realize this, we become heirs with Christ. To receive all those spiritual blessings. We have a place in heaven. We have a place that we can come together as God's children. To hear God's word, to sing songs of praise to Him, to lift up our voice in prayer, to know that we have a high priest that knows our every need. These are blessings that are given to us. You are never alone. For Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I am here with you today." You are not alone. God knows. God is with us. God helps us through. For someone who is not in Christ Jesus cannot possibly have those blessings. The idea of predestination eliminates certain people from being able to be saved. Have you ever thought about that? Because it does. The idea that you are chosen before the start of time puts us in a position to where those who are cast out are already cast out. Even though they haven't been born yet, they will never make it to heaven. That's their idea. It eliminates certain people from being able to go to heaven. No. It is not God's intent that any should perish, but all people everywhere should come to repentance. By saying you are predestined means to them that you are either predestined to be a Christian or predestined not to be a Christian. And folks, that eliminates people. No. I told you this story about Roy Donovan one time, who said that every person he sees is a soul. Every person he sees should have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, I wish a lot of times I was more like Roy Donovan. Because I've never known a finer man than Roy Donovan. He believed it. He worked it. He did it. And folks, all of us should look at each one of us in the same manner, that every person that we run into today, when you go to a restaurant to eat, or when you go to Walmart, or wherever you may go, every person that you run into is a soul. Every person that you run into needs to hear the gospel. Every person that you run into needs to hear the plan of salvation. To hear, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized. Every single one of them. So who are welcome? Who is God calling? All the nations of the earth. All people. Everywhere. All people of all time. And I've told you before that the sins that I usually do of this time in my life are not sins of commission, but rather sins of omission, which is not doing what I need to do. I need to be bolder. I need to talk more, believe it or not. I need to teach more people because they need to hear it. And folks, you need to be the same way. Because if they don't hear the gospel, it may be because you didn't tell them. When you run into somebody, teach them. Invite them. It doesn't take much. Invite them. You'll be shocked because they may show up. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is sought after. Everyone will receive. And notice what it says here in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. We need to be fully assured without any doubt in our minds whatsoever that God's promises will be fulfilled. God has a place for us. God desires for us to receive every type of spiritual blessing. God desires for us to have a place with Him in eternity. And we need to be sure of that. For when we leave this earth, if we leave it before Jesus returns, that you can go to that spot, that deathbed, or whatever it is, and you can say, without a shadow of a doubt, I am going to my true home. I am going to my place of true joy. I'm going to the Father. That place is there for us today. It awaits for us. And the way to receive it is to get in Christ Jesus. If you've already been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again. But I can tell you what you need to do. You need to tell others about it. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to get yourself in Christ. Because those spiritual blessings are only there if you are in Christ. So go that direction. Teach the world. Baptize the world. And if you have not been baptized, it's time to do so now, while together we stand and sing.